Hi everyone, it is nearly here. Nick here at Aintree. We're about to play Chance or No Chance 2024. You can play along with us, don't forget, this time, courtesy of our friends at Crown Jewels Racing and the Fantasy Game. Go to fantasy.crownjewelsracing.com. You can play, you can take us on, take on our team of experts, pick your first three in the Grand National for a chance to win some fantastic prizes. There's cash prizes as well. £1,000 plus an annual subscription to Racing TV is the first prize. Three other cash prizes. Just head along now to fantasy.crownjewelsracing.com and follow all of us on our social media channels to find out what we're picking for this year's race.
You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. It is Friday, April the 12th, 2024. It is the eve of the Randox Grand National. Yes, this is the edition you've all been waiting for. This is Grand National Chance or No Chance. Don't worry, we'll be launching into it very shortly. We're coming to you from the Horse and Groom, just above the media centre here at Aintree Racecourse. Neil Phillips is here with refreshments. Lydia Hislop has brain fully engaged. She has her scythe ready for the majority of the runners in the Grand National, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, that will be right. I think regular listeners will be aware that I have tried to play shots for the past 2 years, and in playing those shots, I've managed to no chance the last two winners.
Noble Yates was dismissed in summary fashion 2 years ago, and last year you were brutal about Corrock Rambler.
And brutally wrong as well. So, you know, it's do I stick with the same scything attitude, or do I take a more circumspect approach?
There is no place for circumspection in this game, as you well know. Let's quickly wrap up what happened yesterday, and there's a lot to get through. Yeah. We'll cram the court into a pint pot. Mm-hmm. Stewards' inquiry into the Aintree hurdle. Ampere Pass kept the race from Bob Ollinger and the rather luckless Langer Dan. I took quite a strong view that the stewards should have turned it round. Sean Parker was very cogent in his explanation. What do you think?
I think, on balance, that I would have turned it round for the interference between Empire Pass and Langer Dan. I feel that he was mildly checked, but then he was carried across and intimidated, forcing Carrie Skelton to have to check and come round. And I think that added up to more than a nose and a short head by which he was beaten. That would have necessitated Empire Pass being placed third. It would have promoted Bob Ollinger to winner de facto and Langer Dan into second. Do I think it is an egregiously incorrect steward's decision? No, I don't. It's not one that's got me jumping up and down. I can see their point of view as well.
Another good day, even though Bob Ollinger was nosed out of it for Rob Corr. Is Jerry Colomb one of those horses that just should be getting a bit more credit now?
I think he's tremendously tough. And that move that Jack Kennedy made between three out and two out was the race-winning move. In fact, I think it was the best ride of the day. He would not have won without that move. He needed to get rolling. He's a stayer. Jack Kennedy was saying afterwards that the horse wasn't giving him the same kind of feel, jumping-wise, as he had done in the Gold Cup. He does have a tendency to be a little bit slow as a getaway vehicle from each of his fences, and that was back in play yesterday. He is a very, very high-class horse, but he's going to have to find more improvement if he's going to have to stay at the top table next season. Afterwards, Gordon Elliott was talking about he still believes, and he has maintained this throughout, that his horse will be a better horse on a sander surface, and there is a growing theory that Galopin de Chon might be vulnerable in those circumstances. I don't agree with it, but there is a very growing feeling about that.
The ever youthful Nicky Henderson wore a boyish grin most of the afternoon after Sir Gino, not rescued, but certainly salvaged something from what's been a rather forgettable few weeks.
Yeah, steadied the ship, absolutely. And it was interesting to hear comments afterwards. First of all, we should talk about the performance. I think he did really well, bearing in mind that he was novice, three out and two out, and Kargeese was trying to get away from him. She was never quite able to do that. Of course, she came out of a hard race in the Triumph Hurdle. She still pulls too hard. If only they could get her to settle a bit better and channel her energy. But nonetheless, Sergino did really well to stay on her coattails, get the last hurdle right, and then come away from her. Afterwards, Nico de Boinville was sort of talking about the lossy mouth preparation. Obviously, she's a mare, there are differences, but basically what he meant by that was not actually racing Sergino that much at the start of next season, but basically basing the campaign around the second half, the new year onwards, with the champion hurdle being the plan. Nicky Henderson expanded on this afterwards. Obviously, they're hoping that Constitution Hill will be back and running, but he absolutely ruled out going novice chasing with the horse next season. He will be hurdling, and it sounds like, sadly, we might not be seeing it. Seems to be a bit of a fashion at the moment, the thought that a four-year-old, a juvenile going into their next season, is unfortunately up against it.
Storylines throughout the day. Another win for Derek O'Connor in the Fox Hunters with It's on the Line. Great to see Bryony Frost produce a ride of swash and buckle on Sans Bruit. I thought that was a wonderful ride in the Red Rum. And Ben Pauling, what an extraordinary week he's had. Loss of the Megson horses. If you haven't seen Lydia's interview with him, go check it out on the Racing TV app or website. It'll be one of the best you see all year. Right, here we go then. Drum roll, please. This is the Grand National Chance or No Chance 2024. Right, let's start off with a winner 2 years ago. He's carrying 11 stone 12. New rider, Harry Cobden, for Emmett Mullins. Noble Yates in the silks of Robert Whaley-Cohen. Winner for Sam Whaley-Cohen in 2022. Lydia Hislop.
No chance.
Chance.
Ooh, go on, explain yourself.
Just a little chance. And you're going to chastise me for saying that. I think he can be in the mix because he will finish the race off.
I think if you're backing each way with extended placings, then he's a perfectly sensible bet. But can he win it or not? No chance.
Nassalam, first runner ever in the race for Gary Moore. Kaelin Quinn, back from injury just yesterday at Taunton. His first ride in the race as well.
No chance.
No chance for me. I think Gary Moore's right, sadly. £10 too much.
I think so. I mean, he'll acquit himself well. He ran well over a short course of the National Fences early in the season. You know, the ground will help him, but no chance.
And also, he probably wants it wet, mm-hmm. rather than mm-hmm. really holding. Mm-hmm. Coco Beach. Every Tom, Dick and Harriet has tipped me Coco Beach during this week. He's going to run much better this time. Third top weight, Jordan Gainford for Gordon Elliott, bidding to equal the record for most Grand National wins as a trainer.
No chance.
No chance.
He can hit the extended placings. He is a better horse this season, and particularly if they don't ride him as positively as he has been in the races in this race for the past 2 years, I can see him again hitting the extended placings.
Now, here is the first of the Willie Mullins very, very strong representation. Cappadano, I slightly fell a little bit for this horse last year.
No chance.
No chance. He's not going to stay, is he?
I don't think so. The only thing, if you like him, your argument is he's had a fuller campaign this season. He came here off the back of just one run last time. Was it that caused him not to finish off the race? He can't jump.
Do you believe the idea that the Willie Mullins team is split? Ruby Walsh has been tipping this horse to everybody.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Ruby put it up on Road to Aintree. That was his winner. So, you know. There is evidence from his perspective.
I wonder if he had the choice which one he'd ride. Paul Townend is on I Am Maximus.
This is tricky, isn't it?
It's really tricky.
Yeah, I'm going to say chance, just because of his huge ability. He does burrow left and at his fences and spends a lot of time in the air, but that is not an ingrained habit. If this race focuses his attention, I think he's well handicapped and I think he's got a lot of talent.
No chance. Move on. Now, Manella Indo, a former Gold Cup winner, bidding to be on the first horse since Lascargo to win both races.
No chance.
Chance.
Right, okay. I think he's got a strong place chance, but I just don't think he's forward enough at his fences, even so, and he's not the horse that he once was.
I think he'll love it round here. For Rachel Blackmore, who, of course, won the race on Manella Times, last year's winner, Korak Rambler. Here we go, then. 11 stone 6, Derek Fox and Lucinda Russell looking for their third Grand National.
Wins again.
I'm really sorry. He wins again, I think so as well.
I mean, I just think this is such a charismatic horse. What a wonderful winner he was last year with everything that went on. The fact that a horse of his charisma was able to win it. Derek Fox knows him intimately. I think the horse ran huge in the Gold Cup, taken right to the edge of his pace and jumping ability in that hard run Gold Cup. Still loomed up as a threat to out. He will win it, and he'll become the first horse since Tiger Roll to successfully defend his title.
I mean, this is threatening to be a very boring edition of Chance or No Chance, because it's not just you, it's not just me. It is Jane Mangan, from whom you'll hear in a moment, and it is also Rishi Prasad. Here he is.
My 1-2-3-4 for this year's Grand National is as follows. Korak Rambler to defend his crown. I think last year he would have won with a stone more anyway, so even though he's gone up in the handicap, that's not an issue for me. I think he's by far the best horse in the race, and I think he'll win it again. I'm not worried about the ground. I'm not worried about the race he had in the Gold Cup. That was his first proper run of the season, I think, anyway. So Korak Rambler to win. Capodanno, I think, will run second. I think he ran a fine race in the race last year, even though he was pulled up. He jumped well, travelled well for a long way, and I think he's a better horse this time around. Coco Beach will fill third spot, hopefully. I thought he enjoyed himself last year, watching his run under Harry Cobden around the fences. He jumped beautifully, so I think he'll fill one of the first four spots, but I'll put him in third. And finally, Noble Yates, a former winner of the race. I'll include him in my four. I think he's obviously shown that he's had a very good season, and he knows his way around Aintree. He's clearly a high-class horse, even though he's got a lot of weight. So Korak Rambler, Capodanno, Coco Beach, and Noble Yates. That's my 1-2-3-4 for the Grand National.
My selection for the Randox Grand National this year is unimaginative. It's last year's winner, Korak Rambler. When Tiger Roll followed up his triumph, he carried 11-5. And I think 11-6 for Korak Rambler's repeat bid is a very fair mark. Korak Rambler ran, I think, a career best performance in the Gold Cup last time. And while I hope it hasn't left its mark, I trust in Lucinda Russell and Peter Scudamore, who have been nothing but effusive about the horse's chances since Cheltenham. If people want a bigger priced horse, I think a horse that's been forgotten about and could run a huge race at big odds is Manila Indo. He's the class horse of the race. He might be 11 years of age, but don't discount him. He's a Gold Cup horse.
That was Jane Mangan. Jane, Rishi, Lydia and I all like Korak Rambler. Now to number 8, Janadil, another one of the Willie Mullins group. Jody McGarvey rides.
Absolutely no chance whatsoever.
Zero hope, I'm afraid, Jody.
In minus figures.
Now, number 9. He wasn't going to run at the beginning of the week, but Statler is running. Patrick Mullins definitely fancied having a spin.
No chance.
No chance at all, I don't think. Marla Mission for Ben Harvey and John McConnell, off since that excellent second in the Coral Gold Cup.
Tricky one, this. No chance.
No chance.
I don't think he'll stay.
And I'm inclined to agree, even though I think he's got so many other good credentials. Mm. Let's hear from Charlotte Greenway.
Well, it's Marla Mission for me this year. Ideally, I'd have liked to have seen him run again after his promising second in the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury, but I still think he has the potential to be better than his mark of 155. I'd hope stamina won't be an issue, and really, he is the definition of Mr. Consistent. So at 16-1, I think he's a nice each-way price, and I hope he'll run a big race.
So Charlotte keen on Marla Mission. Lydia and I, not disparaging the horse, but again, I think he might just be a little free.
I agree, and I think he's got a big handicap in him. I just don't think it's this one.
OK, number 11. He's been placed in the race, and he ran well again last year. Gordon Elliott runs umpteen horses in here. Delta Work, Jack Kennedy's choice.
That which is interesting, isn't it? Not agile enough, no chance.
Chance.
Ooh.
Ground, I think, is playing for him. I liked him when he was third in this. I didn't have a great prep last year. I think that he's coming in here a fresher horse, and he is going to be suited by the ground.
I think he needs space. He doesn't like being in and crowded by other horses. I think that was his undoing with his own jumping for both times he's tried this race.
The wonderful Mouse Morris won this race a few years ago with Rule the World. He's got Foxy Jacks this time, Gavin Bruder.
A better horse this season, no chance.
No chance. 13 is Galvin, Sam Ewing for Gordon Elliott. Sam Ewing, festival winning jockey. Galvin got no further than the first fence last year.
Chance.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's totally unexposed as a marathon chaser. I think the ground element is completely overplayed. I think he's been given a chance by the handicapper. He's got a chance.
I think he's got absolutely no chance.
Why?
At all.
On the basis of what? Out of interest.
Because Tom Stanley fancies him. Here he is.
That's a very good one.
I'm going to chance Galvin in this year's Grand National. I quite fancied him last year. He will need to get further than the first if he's going to win. That's pretty obvious. But hopefully that hasn't dented the horse's confidence. What he has in his advantage this year is a much lesser weight compared to 12 months ago. And yet he's double the price. We didn't really learn anything about him in the race last year because he didn't last long enough. But we talk about having to have a class edge in what is the modern national. Well, he's definitely got that. And I feel he's priced up really on account of ground concerns. But I feel I learned at Cheltenham that if I expected some horses not to go in the ground, sometimes they just did. And hopefully class will out with Galvin.
He, for whatever reason, he just loves these horses that fell at the first the previous year. Oh, I enjoyed kicking that one into the long grass as well.
Oh, this one's much more talented.
The only surprise is he didn't go for something trained by Gavin Cromwell. Anyway, we'll come to that in a minute. Number 14, Farouk Dalen, Donna Myler for Gordon Elliott.
No chance.
Number 15, Eldorado Allen, Joe Tizard and Brendan Powell. Brendan Powell, whose father won the race on Rhyme and Reason in 1988.
No chance.
Number 16, Now, this was your pick last year.
It was. No chance.
Ain't that a shame?
He got the absolutely perfect ride. I mean, my worry last year was that he'd be too keen. Rachel Blackmore completely buried him. He moved into the race really nicely and then moved out of it rapidly from the home turn.
But come on, Blackmore off, Maxwell on. That's got to be a positive angle, hasn't it?
This is great.
It needs David to focus all of his godlike powers to get this horse home.
I think he'll run well for a long way. No chance. Number 17 is Vanillier, last year's runner-up for Gavin Cromwell and Sean Flanagan.
No chance.
No, I don't get it. I mean, I do get it because he's been second in the race, but yeah, I'm not sure I can trust him to run well in it twice.
No, I agree. And again, he's got a worse problem than Jerry Calonne. He is so ponderous at his fences. I mean, I shouldn't even be mentioning Jerry Calonne in the same breath as Vanillier. Yeah, he's really ponderous.
No chance. Number 18 is the mercurial Mr. Incredible. Brian Hayes knows him inside out for Willie Mullins.
Yes, much better behaved these days. Lacks tactical pace. No chance.
Chance.
Okay.
Proper slugger.
Yeah.
We'll keep going. I think his brain's fine now.
I totally agree. I've not got a problem with his brain at all. I think he's a place chance. He even a sort of conventional place chance, you know, people betting first four.
Number 19 is Run Wild Fred, Tom Hamilton for Gordon Elliott.
No chance.
20 is Late Night Pass, one of the stories of the race. Gina Andrews riding for her husband Tom Ellis in the colours of her mother-in-law, who also bred the horse. Great story.
Fantastic story.
Wonderful story.
No chance,
I'm afraid.
Stamina?
I just think he lacks a touch of class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
21 is Minella Crooner, Kevin Sexton for Gordon Elliott.
No chance.
He's a good novice hurdler, wasn't he?
He was, but he's never gone on from that, has he?
No chance. 22 is Adamantly Chosen, Sean O'Keefe for Willie Mullins.
No chance.
23 is Peter Bowen. Well, he's been second in the race with McKelvey. He's won about 72 Topham's, including with this horse, Mac Totty. James Bowen taking the ride.
No chance. Won't stay.
No chance. Needs to start now. 24 is Chemical Energy. Danny Gilligan, very promising young rider for Gordon Elliott.
This is one of the horses I think will outrun his odds. No chance of winning, to be clear, but I think, again, he could hit the frame.
Chance. I'm giving him a chance.
Okay, that's fine. I can see that. But I'm going, you know, win or bust. You know, so no chance.
Chance for me, Chemical Energy, at a big price. 25 is an intriguing mare, very classy, Limerick Lace, the choice out of four of the five at Manus runners for Mark Walsh. Gavin Cromwell again.
Chance. Career best performance in the Troy Town. Has since advantageously ridden, admittedly, won the Mrs. Paddy Power. She's on a roll, she's in the form of her life, and she promises to stay really well.
I absolutely adore her. I backed her at Cheltenham. Love her. Think she's a smashing mare, very high class. Don't think she'll stay. No chance.
Okay.
Number 26 is Meeting of the Waters. Danny Mullins getting the ride for Willie Mullins. It'll be a conservative ride, I fancy.
This is the biggest risk I'm taking. No chance. I think he might be a little bit too keen.
He's
an eight not a shame type character.
I was just asked to do a top six with extra places, etc. Mm-hmm. And I slung him in at sixth on the basis that he might still be there, two out, and then fade.
Exactly.
So on that basis, no chance. But You can get more positive endorsement of the chances of Meeting of the Waters right now.
Hello, everyone. Cornelius Lysett here. I'm going with Meeting of the Waters. This one went into my tracker. He was one to look out for sort of late autumn. I think he surprised everybody. He's been even more okay than everyone anticipated that he might be, winning in good style at Leopardstown. Great third in the Altima at Cheltenham as well, a race that's tends to be a good pointer towards Aintree, as we know. He'll handle conditions. Will he stay? Well, we can't be absolutely certain, but he was keeping on well at the end of the Altima, so he should be fine. It's Meeting of the Waters for me.
Hi, it's David Ord from Sporting Life. Something for the weekend with a slight difference this week, because after all, it is a different weekend. My idea of the winner of the Randox Grand National is Meeting of the Waters for Willie Mullins. I loved his run in the Ultima last time. I thought he tanked through the race like a well-handicapped horse. He was at the right end of the weight. Progressive profile, still early days for him with the close-up Maestro 2. And I think Meeting of the Waters can come out on top in Saturday's Randox Grand National.
So, 27 is the Goffer. Gordon Elliott has booked Sean Bowen to take the ride.
No chance.
Number 28 is Roi Mage, who is now 12 years old. James Reevely, what a superb rider he is. Patrick Griffin, in the colours of Aurora's Encore, who won the race famously a few years ago.
Missed the cut by 1 2 years ago, finally got in last year, performed with huge credit, travelled and jumped really fluently, and then faded. So no chance under the strict terms of this game, but really likeable horse.
Yeah, we always say wonderfully nice things about him because he's a smashing horse. At 12 this year, no chance for me. 29 in the Florida Pearl Silks is Glenn Gooley for Willie Mullins. Michael O'Sullivan, what a young talent he is.
Yes, very much so. I think this horse could be trouble. He's too keen. He threw his chance away too keen. He caused a false start at the Cheltenham Festival. I hope he doesn't do that here. No chance.
Number 30 is an intriguing runner, a mare, Gallia De Lito for the Skeltons. It could be a very important runner for Dan Skelton as regards the Trainers' Championship.
No chance. Again, this I think was a difficult one because I think her chance is there to see. I just worry that she isn't exposed as a staying chaser. I just worry that she might do too much.
I'm just not quite sure about her strength in the finish.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
So, reluctantly and with a heavy heart and with a degree of sorrow, it's no chance.
Yeah.
Number 31 is Panda Boy. Martin Brassel won the race with number 6, Valverde. In 2006, JJ Sleven takes the ride.
Chance. Big chance, I think, actually. Really big chance. Ran really well in the Irish Grand National as a 7-year-old last season. Huge performance, second at Leopardstown at Christmas. Shapes like he's going to improve as overextended distances, which he faces again here.
And we're not the only ones who think Panda Boy can run well.
My name is David Yates, and my selection for the Randox Grand National of 2024 is number 31, Panda Boy. It'll take a strong staying performance to lift this year's race. My belief is that when it comes to it, Panda Boy will have stamina in spades. He ran a fine second to Meeting of the Waters at Leopardstown over Christmas. Minella Times filled the same placing in the same race before he won the Grand National of 2021. Panda Boy warmed up for Aintree with another good second. That was over hurdles at Leopardstown. He's at the bottom of the weights here and he's got more improvement to come. Martin Brassel famously won the National in 2006 with number 6 Valverde. He's got an excellent candidate here as he seeks to double up. It's the Randox Grand National due off at Aintree at 4 o'clock. Selection is number 31, Panda Boy.
David Yates endorsing the claims of Panda Boy. Martin Brassel's got a great record in the race. So is Henry de Bromhead, who also runs Eclat de Rire with Darrow O'Keefe riding.
Yeah, he's clearly very difficult to train, this horse, but he hasn't fulfilled his talent. No chance.
I was staggered when, what was it called, Balco de Flo loomed up and finished second.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There is that, because Henry de Bromhead had the 1-2 that year and Balco de Flo ran out of his face to finish second.
But, you know, he would be pulling a lapin out of the chapeau if a Cladderia were to win this.
Oui. Absolutely.
Number 33 is Chambard for Venetia Williams. 100-1 shot Monmome won this race with the late Liam Treadwell. In 2010, Lucy Turner takes the ride on Chambard.
Great partnership between her and Chambard. They won a Cheltenham Festival together, and also they won the Beecher Chase here. Reluctantly, I'm going to say no chance.
Chance.
Right, okay. I can see him hitting the extended places again. I think if you're looking for an each-way vehicle, this would be a good one.
This is my Bonkers Barmy one.
Okay, lovely.
Bonkers Barmy one. I can hear Neil Phillips chantering away in the background. like a man who's got a horse who's done quite well, trained by Venetia Williams.
It's a telltale sign, isn't it? Yeah. It's always a giveaway.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Loved it. Loved it around here in the Beecher.
Yeah, absolutely. He has got the bounce back. Last two runs weren't quite so good, were they?
And finally, 34, Kitty's Light. Christian Williams, Jack Tudor.
Specialist. He's a marathon specialist. Again, I think the ground... I mean, I know that the sander surface will help him a lot, but he's not going to fail for want of trying, is he?
See, I was all set to say no chance, and I've slightly been converted by race IQ, funnily enough.
Okay, go on.
Well, Paige was on the show yesterday, and Kitty's Light just comes up every time as efficiency of jumping. Not flamboyant, just really efficient.
Definitely. Ruby Walsh, in fact, highlighted this on the Road to Raintree show. He jumps fences a bit like Tiger Light. He goes forward at them. He attacks them in the perfect way for this race.
So chance for me. And indeed, for Lee Mottershead.
Nick, I took Meeting of the Waters at a preview night earlier in the week and still really fancy his chances. But with the ground drying and in the hope that the rain continues now to stay away, I've swung back to my long-held selection of Kitty's Light, who is fantastic in the spring, never more so than last year. But this time, Christian Williams, a superb target trainer, has been looking at the Randox Grand National from a long way out, and I think his plan will be rewarded. I liked Kitty's Light's performance in the Ultima at Cheltenham. I don't think he's badly treated. And so long as ground conditions don't prove too testing, and I think there's a fair chance they won't, I suspect he'll charge past quite a few of these up the home straight and win the Randox Grand National. Lots of people are hoping a win for Christian Williams, his daughter Betsy, for the entire family, and I think he will. So for me, Kitty's Light to win the Randox Grand National.
And that is chance or no chance for 2024. Well, all week here on the podcast, we have been showcasing British Racing's horse welfare initiative, Horse Power. It has been in part supported by the Jockey Club, whose chief executive, Nevin Truesdale, is with me now. For those of you who don't know, Jockey Club, of course, is also the parent company of Aintree Racecourse. Nevin, we're down here on the Horse Power stand at the bottom of the paddock. What sort of reception has this had so far, this festival?
Nick, I think it's been universally positive, not just here at Aintree, but online and on all the other platforms and channels that you and others have been so helpful in helping us promote this. This feels to me like quite a seminal moment for the sport. We've heard quite a lot this week from Kevin, from so many others, from Sally Ann, about how the sport's really come together on this, and I think that's the most important bit. We all know how important this issue of horse welfare is. We at the Jockey Club, you know, we're the guardians of probably the two biggest jumps festivals. That's where the welfare narrative tends to come out across the rest of the world and the wider media, and I think for us as a sport, I think it's really pleasing. In fact, it's fantastic that we're getting on the front foot with this and we're being positive and confident about the story we've got to tell. I mean, for us at the Jockey Club, it's a 365-day-a-year thing. We're never stopping on this, but to have something that properly showcases it in one place to the wider public beyond just racing, I think is so powerful and so important.
I'm very interested in some of the key messages that are emblazoned across the back of this stand. I love the slogan, "We have no favourites." We look after every horse from cradle to grave as an industry. That is one key message. Pastures new, making sure that horses are foraging properly, they're fed properly. If they fall, we won't fail. That research, as we were talking to Gabby Whitfield about earlier in the week, into how to minimise risk and how to make sure we understand why horses fall and where they fall.
Yeah, and I think that last bit, Nick, is really important for us. Where faller rates happen, where unseats happen, things that can lead to fatalities. You know, Richard Norris and his team, our racing director, Julie Hartley and Matt Wilson, have been key in this in bringing together some really good data analytics of where accidents happen on our race course, because that then gives us a steer as to where we should be investing and what we should be addressing. So that's one big element of it in terms of what happens on the course. The other thing that I think we've picked up, and I'm sure I know Lydia will pick up on, because this is a favourite subject of hers, and quite rightly, is around traceability after racing. Because I think that's an area as a sport where we've probably been a little bit reticent about, you know, what happens to these horses after the race. It's a perception among some members of the public that, you know, the worst happens. That is so untrue, and getting that across in terms of the other careers they have, some of which, as you say, are advertised on the walls here, and increasing that traceability rate beyond its already quite high rate, I think is really, really important. And again, all of us as a sport uniting and getting on the front foot on that is another really important element of this.
Nevin, wonderful to see you here. This is a fantastic initiative, and I'm glad it's been embraced so wholeheartedly during this festival so far.
Brilliant. Thanks, Nick. Fantastic.
Right, food's arrived. Food has arrived.
Nick, we'll get along.
Neil Phillips is going to tell you what we've got here.
We've got Alistair Coe here, the chef.
Alistair Coe, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Nick. Yourself?
Head chef here at Aintree in the Horse and Groom restaurant. How are you getting on this week?
Yeah, really good. It's a lovely menu, lovely springtime menu, great flavours, so, and it's a great place to be.
There you are, Lydia, look at that.
I know.
So you've got three bangers at 10:26 in the morning.
and don't they look lovely?
They do. So talk to me about your bangers, Alistair.
They're lovely venison sausages, so really good. Nice whole grain mustard mash there. Crispy shallots, so you've got lots of textures there, and a lovely red wine gravy, jus. Then we've got a little smoked haddock arancini there. It came with a spicy arrabbiata sauce, crisp basil, so lovely flavours of the Mediterranean, with a nice little garlic and saffron mayonnaise. And then finally for you, we've got like a nice pressed belly pork, sage and onion, celeriac puree, and then we've got some puffed skin there, just to add a nice little cracker to it. Also, you've got lovely textures and flavours, and it's all traditional.
It looks absolutely delicious. You're not selling it with the words puffed skin.
All right, sorry. It's the best. I don't know what else. A nice cracker.
It looks really good.
Yeah. But it's unreal. It's lovely.
Lydia, have you tasted the puffed skin?
Let me try the puffed skin,
yeah.
Shall I?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do this.
Lydia's just dipping the puffed skin into the jus.
Wow, that's lovely.
Is it?
Mm.
Yeah. Did you taste the arancini?
I did. The arancini is lovely. I really like the puffed skin.
There you go.
You're leaving the bangers?
Come on, Nick. Have a go.
No, you can have the bangers.
Come on, Nick.
Okay. I'm going to tuck into a venison sausage. Last night's curry's just sitting a little heavily.
Yeah. Ooh. It's going in. It's really going.
You've just speared it and put the whole thing in.
Slightly gained with my fourth undertones.
Little delicious. The pork undertones. And what make it? What are these?
Crispy shallots. So you've got nice textures there. You've got the sausages. You've got the mash.
Mm.
Flavours there. Springtime, seasonal broccoli.
Lovely. Really, very, very good. It's thank you very much, yeah. Alistair.
Have a good day.
I'm
thank
a
you. Yeah, you're still going at that puffed skin.
I genuinely am.
You'll see a bit of puffed skin here today, I fancy.
We've got some wine.
Oh, some wine. Is it a nice Chianti?
I was tempted to do Chianti Classico.
Oh, right.
Yes,
okay.
Right, Neil, what are we drinking?
Right, Garvey, Christina Ascari, northwest of Italy, Piemonte, dry, fruity, Cortese grape, refreshing, and lovely popular wine, and a really good producer. It goes back to 1880, and I think it tastes great for this time of the morning.
Superb. Neil, thank you very much.
We're going to do the bottle like we did on the Friday of the Gold Cup, are we?
That you can't tell people that.
No.
Mind if it was good enough for Peter O'Sullivan.
Well, that was
he was two bottles of Paul Roger before racing, wasn't he?
That was earlier
like
in the day. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
God,
it's
so
very,
good.
Very
this
nice.
Is very good.
That is an excellent drop of Gavi. And while we finish that, we'll leave you to ponder which horse is going to win the 2024 Randox Grand National. It is for Lydia and for me and for others, Corak Rambler. But I hope we've helped you by reducing the field from 34 down to about 6.
Absolutely. Here. Cheers. Good luck, everybody. Enjoy the National.
Cheers.
Cheers. That was Chance or No Chance. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with Fitstairs.